The word. Is my mic working? Hi, hello. Okay, testing 1, 2. All right. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 65, I want to start our message and our reading here in verse number 16. So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. That's who our Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the God of truth. He is the God who speaks, and everything that he says is utterly faithful. His salvation is faithful. His power is faithful. His gospel is faithful. The promises, his promises are faithful. His blood is faithful. His joy and peace are faithful in believing. As I think about as to what is often lacking in the churches of God, is the joy and peace that comes from believing the gospel. And it's just an evidence that we don't actually believe it as we should. It's the joy, it's the peace, it's the fellowship that is in the gospel is real. If we give our life unto it, if we devote ourselves unto it, if we believe it for real, if we live by it, this a devotion, this consecration that is unto the gospel, it is unto our own joy. It's our own peace. It's our own pleasure. He says that godliness with contentment is great gain. He says that having godliness, it has the promise of a life that is right now. That is in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 4. I was preaching on this yesterday morning online. I was more teaching. But 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 8. And so you can hear me in the back. And you understand my English. Yeah. All right now. Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 8. It says that for bodily exercise it profits a little. If you get your muscles, you get your workout on. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so godliness is the right worship of God in Christ Jesus. It's an infatuation with God that's based upon Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the work that he accomplished at the cross. Our gospel is good news, and it has the advantage of this present life. It's the happiest thing. It's the happiest life that a Christian could possibly live, that a human being could possibly live, is to devote himself, herself, fully unto Jesus Christ. But it's in the gospel. You take away the gospel, the power of God that's in salvation, and religion, Christianity, is a boring thing and it is a drudgery, because you're fighting by your flesh with the devil. and that cannot work. And the joy being gone, you have to find your joy someplace in this world in something else. But what I want you to see this morning is that our joy in God is real. Because He's a good God. And all of the power and strength of Christianity is in Him. Our devotion is in Him. He gives us the grace to carry on in the Christian life. He gives us the power over sin. He gives us heaven after we die. And so to be in communion with this good God, in the power of the Holy Spirit that in the gospel, in the true preaching of the gospel, not as a theory that I heard some other day, but the present life of my spirit, the present joy of my spirit, that I've got good news from God, that He has forgiven us of our sins. He has paid for our sins. And so that now I'm going to worship Him with all my heart. I'm going to live for His glory and for His honor. And so as I was over here in prayer, is a prayer, it entered into my mind as something I have got to have. The ability to serve God and worship God from my heart. How about you? And to be utterly sincere in the praise and in the worship of God, so that nothing is done for self. And you see, as you are here preaching, I don't know if you mean preach, I know you do. It is so easy to do these things for ourselves. It is so easy to be in religion for ourselves and to say praise God for ourselves instead of for the praise of God. And that is the difference in between joy and happiness and peace and the drudgery of false religion and the drudgery of not knowing God. And the power of sin being broken, it comes to make us praise God in all things from our heart in sincerity. That's something only God can do. We praise Him, we tell Him, praise You, and we want to thank You from our heart in sincerity because You are a good God and You are worthy of all of the praise. My life, it belongs unto You. My hope is in You. It belongs unto You. My praise, I don't know if you've seen that song here, my hallelujah belongs to You. Oh, I love that song. That's my jam. Huh? That's it. Huh? That's what we used to sing back in Oakland, California, as I was preparing to be a missionary. I'd be in the back of the church after preaching. I'd be weeping my tears. And my hallelujah, my heart, my praise, my life, my everything belongs unto You because You're a good God who saved my soul. And serving you means everything unto me, because all the joy that I think I have in this world is proved it was no joy at all. But the joy I have in God is real and satisfies the soul.
It's in the book of John, please, in chapter number 4. You believe that?
It's a happy gospel. It's a happy God. And the Christian's a happy person if his eyes are on Jesus Christ and he's worshiping Him and serving Him from the heart. That's where happiness is. It's in your heart. It's not in your circumstances. It's not in Nigeria. It's not in America. It's in your heart by the grace of God. That's where happiness, it resides inside there. That's the gift of God. It's inside there. In the book of John 4, verse number 13, verse number 14.
Our Lord Jesus was dealing with this sinner, a Samaritan woman, and that made him so happy.
He did not despise a sinner. He had mercy on her. But he told her this in verse number 13 from John 4. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water, of the water of the world and everything that's in the world and every enjoyment of the world, that includes your family, your children, your house, your car, your money, your life, your health, and everything else that's in this world,
will thirst again. It will not satisfy you or me." The children can't do it. And you know it.
If my own mother, as much as she loves me, she cannot be satisfied in me. I'm a missionary. I'm gone. She's going to have to find it in God. Herself and myself and yourself is in God alone. Verse number 14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him," that's everlasting life, "will never thirst." Are you satisfied with the Lord's statement on that point? Because I'm almost scared to come out from behind the pulpit. I'm just embarrassed.
House slippers, and I'm preaching.
But are you satisfied with the statement as the Lord Jesus Christ made, "You'll never thirst again"? Let me ask you a question. Are you thirsty? Are you happy? Are you satisfied deep down in your soul? I am. To the bottom. Let me tell you why. I'm believing the gospel. He said it. That settles it. It works. He is the God of truth. There is joy and peace in believing.
Let me quote you this. It's the book of Romans, chapter number 15. Is your mind if I use my Bible? You able to stick with me? You able to hear me? Because I'm quicker with my scriptures now. You got to stay in tune.
For Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, it says this: "Now may the God of hope..." And so why do you have hope?
Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead.
If your hope is based upon yourself, how you're performing, how you've been in school. If your school fees are paid for your children, then you're not going to have much hope after all. But if your hope is based upon Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead, and I'm right with God, because all of my salvation, it was laid upon Him. The responsibility of saving your and my elect soul was laid on Jesus Christ. That's what we learned in the seminar. He was the surety. He was the guarantor of the covenant. It was His responsibility to bring us back unto God. And if He fails, all of us, we go to hell when we die, and God has lost all His glory because He lied when He promised us salvation from before this world was formed. Huh? He had particular names of particular people in the book of life, and He promised us everlasting life before ever He made this world, and the responsibility was laid on Jesus Christ. He had to come here and die to satisfy God. He satisfied the justice of God, the wrath of God, the payment of God, the anger of God, propitiated through the shed blood of Christ. Not of man, not of what me and you can do at all. It was all laid upon God through Jesus Christ. You hear me? If you sleep, I'm going to kick you to wake up. This is the gospel. Yep. Would you sleep on me? No. We're here to hear the gospel of the God of truth. Of the God that's worthy of our praise and of our worship and of our everything and of our life. It was laid on Him, my brother. And He did it all by Himself. And He succeeded. And God raised Him from the dead. That's why there's hope for God. I got plenty of hope. How about you? My hope is in Jesus Christ. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. You got all joy? You are supposed to. It's your inheritance by the blood of Christ. Not something that you and me have earned. He earned for me and you. It's ours by possession and by right. But here's what me and you have to do, is to believe it. Look what it says. He filled you with all joy and peace. How? What does it say? Huh? In belief. Not in thinking. Not in wondering. Not in pondering alone. But in believing that all that Christ has, all that He has done is for me and you. And as sinful as I am, I have the inheritance of Almighty God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He told that woman at the well? That Samaritan woman who had had five husbands. And He knew all about it the whole time He's talking to her. He said, if you had asked of me, huh? I would have given you living water that you never thirst again. So our sinfulness is not a problem unto Him. He paid for our sin. He took away our sin upon the cross.
If you're believing that, you have eternal life. And that water which he shall give, is I'm in between two verses. In between John 4, in between Romans chapter 15. But the water that I shall give him, it will become in him a fountain of water. Did you see that the water's on the inside? It's not something in this world. It's not if I'm in America. It's not if I'm in California. It's not if my situation is safe. If I was in Yola and we were traveling by road into Maiduguri, it was up to 9 hours maybe. And I like us to keep quiet as I'm traveling because I don't know what's going to happen unto me if they find out I'm in America. And so your pastor was trying to make a conversation with me, and I just acted like I was grouchy. It wasn't grouchy. I liked my safety. But on the road into Maiduguri, and I heard that they have been killing a lot of people on that road, I kept quiet for 9 hours and did not talk a word. And that doesn't bother me. But guess what? I had peace on the inside like a river. Because even if I die, to die is gain. I got a master in heaven that has taken away all my sin. And whatever he says to do with this life, it's his. It belongs to him, I belong to him, and so do you. My sister, my brother, if you live like that, if you're living by faith, I haven't just believed the gospel, I'm believing the gospel. It is living by the power and the glory of God. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's another power that isn't you and me. There is an outside of us power that's in God that gets on the inside as you and me believe the gospel and walk by it and live by it, that fills us with the joy and peace that in believing and the hope that is in the power of the Holy Spirit. It causes us to abound with hope and thanksgiving. That's the God truth. Do you believe that His Word is... He has just said some marvelous things. I believe it's mine. When I get it inside my heart, and I gotta have it. Give me this or I die. Let me have this living water that I thirst no more. Go call your husband. But Master, I don't have a husband. You have well said. You have had 5 husbands. And the one that's with you right now ain't your husband. What's he saying? It's your pastor knows.
What's he saying, Pastor?
This water is for...
Say it loud and proud.
This water is for sinners.
It's got nothing to do with you.
And everything to do with Jesus Christ and what He gives.
So I can have it. I qualify. This is the God of truth. Let's go back into our text. It's the book of Isaiah in chapter number 65. That was unscripted and measured, but I hope that you believe it and recognize that this is a God of truth, and you and I are to possess everything He has to give us by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 16 says, "And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth." He's utterly faithful. "Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes." What this text is really talking about is heaven and the joy of heaven. If you see the thing about heaven and the new birth and the revival that is given unto Christians, the first and the second coming of Christ are so closely related that they're intertwined. He has a new heavens and a new earth, but I'm already a new creation, right? He has everlasting life that's coming, but we already have everlasting life. He has something that's coming that's called heaven, but we already have the Holy Spirit and joy and peace that's in the Lord. He has paradise, but we already have peace. And so these two events, the new birth and the reception of Christ, is so closely related unto heaven that they intertwine, and the scripture speaks of them both at the same time in the same places. That's what's happening here. Verse number 17. "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth." That's from Revelation chapter number 21. That's clearly talking about heaven and paradise. It actually coming down to dwell on earth in the new earth and the new heaven. "And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." My sin, my guilt, my shame, my pain, my suffering, my loss. That's why to die is gain. If you ever tell me I shall not die, I'm going to be angry at you. Don't stand here and promise me I won't die. That's heaven to come, baby. Don't take away my heaven. Don't take away my paradise. When my time is up on earth and your time, glory be to God. To die, God, is gain.
We're not scared of it. We're looking forward to it when it comes. And until it comes, I'm going to live for God's glory. And when it comes, hallelujah, praise God. He has taken away the sting of death. He has taken away its fear, its punishment, its pain. It's the pain of this body, but the pain of an everlasting hell and the wrath of God is gone. We need to prepare. Oh, we got to change our thinking and become more scriptural and biblical, and we will have peace, even on the road into Maduro. And I asked the pastor, I said, how is the security here? Because I'm not afraid. But if I believe, it's where God would have me go. I'm not a fool to tell God no either.
Yes, you see the difference. Verse number 18 is astonishing. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. What is God Almighty saying about you and me? Why did He create us?
For His pleasures in the next verse, but for our joys in that verse. He created us to be happy. Listen, He chose us from the foundation of the world. Before He ever made this world, He put our names in the book of life. Every one of us who believes this gospel that I'm preaching right now, He created you in Christ Jesus. After you became born again, is you realize your inheritance. But long before God made this world, He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau I hate. And He said that you, Jacob, whom He created, whom He chose, my original purpose for you is to be happy, and there is nothing that can stop it at all. I will send my son for you, and he will save you. I will bring you up back unto myself by the preaching of the gospel. We have a God that is too passive in our minds. He's just waiting. He's just hoping. The God of the Bible is active. He is saving. He is seeking. The scripture says He must needs go through Samaria, because He had a woman He had to make happy. Because she had been given unto Him by God the Father. And it was her time of love. And all of her sinfulness meant nothing. It was only a way and a means for her to drink the water of life and to leave her water bucket all behind. She found what satisfied her soul. Her thirst was quenched. That water bucket was left, and she had to go tell the world, I found Him, I've met Him, in whom has everlasting life. He told me all about myself.
and accepted me anyway. That's the gospel of God. He created you to be happy. He chose you to be happy. He puts you in Christ to be happy, because that's what gives glory unto God. If you look at King Solomon, after the Queen Sheba came, that African woman, and she looked at the happiness of his servants and said, "Wow, Solomon, you're quite a king." Oh, the Almighty God has made us everlastingly happy. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to be happy, happy, happy. And all of this is for the glory of God. That he can say, "See, look how good I am. All because of Christ Jesus, I'm being gracious unto these people. I'm being kind unto them for all of eternity, unto the praise of the glory of my grace." That's the kind of God that you and I serve. Let me ask you a question. Is he going to help you serve? If your joy being full is unto his glory, is he going to help you have that joy? In Jesus Christ, yes, he is. Any other way, the answer is no. If I come into this pulpit to glorify myself in any way, the answer is no. But if it's to give glory unto Jesus Christ, he will give us his Holy Spirit and will give him glory, and we will have joy and peace that's in believing, and we'll get to heaven when we die and be happy. That's the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus. How gracious is God? How merciful. Oh, how wonderful is his love unto me. I hope we sing that song with more understanding of his love unto me and you. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is the Savior's love to me. And if you want unto be happy, if you're going to bask in it all the day long, if you're not going to be looking at your circumstances, if you're going to be looking at Christ Jesus, if you're not going to be looking at if I'm in school, if I have a nice job, if I got money, if I got house, if I got car, he told that woman, "If you drink this water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst." So each and every day, get that water inside you. And you just have to guzzle up that gospel every day of your life, and moment by moment, and live unto the honor of God. Because you're going to paradise, and he's a God of glory right now. The same God that is bringing us into paradise, he is giving us joy and peace right now. And it's full, huh? It's full. If a church ever got excited and happy about Jesus Christ, it would transform this world. That's a revival. But that's heaven to come in its perfection. Verse number 19, I will rejoice. Now this is his joy.
This is God's joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. I'll be so satisfied. I'll be so happy with you. I have cleaned you up. I have put away your sins. I have made you a brand new creation. I have glorified you in heaven. I have made you my own. I have made you perfect in my sight. The voice of weeping, this is heaven. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Not because I have money, but because I'm with God. My sin has been taken away and all of temptation. That's heaven and paradise. And here on earth, we drink of that water until we want no more. What's that other one? Have me hold out, raise Jehovah through this pilgrim wandering land. Feed me till I lack no more. Give me the bread. Give me the bread of life. Until I'm no longer thirsty and hungry after this world. Until I'm satisfied. Oh, God does. And then he brings us into paradise. Now, I just have a couple more minutes. Let's just try to squeeze in a couple more verses. No more shall an infant, verse number 20, from there live but a few days. There will be no more death. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be cursed. Everlasting torments. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. I'm going to get the fruit of my labors. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. It's not carnal, it's spiritual. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Here's my last point. It's the scripture says in the book of the Revelations in chapter number 14, in verse number 13, it says this. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works hallow them. I was up in Kano. I was in a village for 3 weeks. It's a place called Narya. And it's a woman out there with the ministry. And it's some other churches there. And this particular woman, and she has an orphanage and a school. And she has a garden. It's to cross, it's to feed children. And so we're sleeping one night, and I wake up in the morning under the news. You have the Fulani herdsmen have entered into her garden, broke the hedge, and had fed their cattle and devoured her garden and her crops. I was so angry. Wanted to kill somebody. But this woman, is her ministry in a large part is smiling unto the Muslims in her car as she's in and out of town. And she waves. If you're with me, and I'd be waving at the Muslims and smiling. I picked it up
from her and my own gospel knowledge. But it was hard to smile and wave at any Muslim that day. I had to get my soul back with God. But my point is this. If the woman had labor and those children, and they couldn't eat the fruit of their labor, somebody else got satisfied off of it who did not work for it. And that's not fair. But when we get into paradise, what the text says is that we shall eat of the fruit of our labor. This whole life of serving God is worth suffering. This resistance of sin, this fighting against sin, this war against sin is worth suffering. It has the promise of the life that now is. It has joy abundantly. And peace too.
Oh, but when we get to heaven and our good works, they follow us in there.
They won't be leading my way. Our Lord Jesus Christ has made our way, but they will be remembered by Almighty God. What you do now in the service of God, He shall remember forever. That's why I don't want to get into heaven and have so little of serving my God to think about. I want Him to do it now inside my heart. So that once I get to paradise, I can spend time with the other brethren and say, look, look, look. Do you see what God did through me? He made me able to serve Him. Thank God. Thank God. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Thank God.
Amen.